In an interview with CNS News on November 19, 2014, world-renowned evangelist Billy Graham said that our children are growing up in a lawless and wicked age, infused with the philosophy of the devil, who says, "Do as you please." Further, he added, "Rearing up children in this culture is difficult because we have taken God out of our educational system and thought we could get away with it." He went on and he said, "We have sown the wind and we are now reaping the whirlwind. We have laughed at God, religion, and the Bible. If Mr. Graham could see us now." CNN, not too long ago, televised the Emmys Awards, and they were interviewing actors and actresses that had won their awards. And one particular one, actress or comedian, she came out in the headline again, Kathy Griffith, said on CNN, "Jesus didn't win this Emmy. I won it. Jesus is not my God. This is my God." And she raised the Emmy trophy. Now, oddly enough, in a Plain Truth article from 1960, the article starts off saying, "This a lawless age. Crime and violence are increasing at a fearful rate because among millions of people there is practically no respect for law or constituted authority, either that of God or of man. On the international scene, nations live in fear because they very well know that the so-called guarantees and treaties for peace are not worth the paper on which they are written. There is no law, respect, or for authority among the nations of the world. This is the world in which we live." But this is pretty much 2017, it's the same MO. On this day, day of Pentecost, we see hope. We stand not with fear, but with security, because we follow God's law. The world is in disorder. It was in disorder back in the 60s, and it still is, because they have forgotten God. Most have no hope. Many do not have God's Holy Spirit. They do not have His Spirit because they have forgotten Him and replaced Him with their worldly things, whether it's a trophy or whether it's a car. They have forgotten to honor God. They have forgotten that the Holy Spirit gives us power, gives us love, and gives us a sound mind. The title of that particular article back in the 60s was titled "The Great Commandment," in which it would be only befitting the title of this sermonette would be the same: "The Great Commandment." Men have lost all deep respect for law because they really do not know the source of the law. They think it's the president giving the law. They think Congress is giving the law. They think a dictator is giving the law. But let's go to, and I always go to my grandson's name. Let's go to James 4, verse 12. James pretty much cut to the chase. James 4, verse 12. He said, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Basically saying that God is the one and supreme God that gives and directs and gives commands. When God gave the nation of Israel the Ten Commandments, basic stuff, it was for a true and perfect reason. God began speaking the Ten Commandments, revealing to His people the laws of life which bring success and happiness and peace with God and with man. Isn't that what man is looking for now? He is looking for it in all the wrong places. In this day and age of human reasoning and growing socialistic thinking, compartmentalizing of God. We'd like to put God in a compartment and maybe pull him out when we need him. In Spanish, I was hearing a program, and they said, "Ay Diosito." You know, there's that's translated in English as "little God." You know, Diosito, like they're picturing, instead of the supreme God, God with authority, God who created the universe and this world. He isn't a Diosito. He isn't a small God. But man's thinking likes to put him in that. He didn't start his commandments, his first commandment, saying, talking about the brotherhood of man, but about obedience and worship to God the Creator. Let's go to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 1, brethren. Verse 1, going to 3. God speaking to Israel. "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." But man has always wanted to be in charge. He didn't want to take orders from God. They wanted a king. And throughout the Old Testament, we can see, and mainly the New Testament as well, we can see this ideology of man is full of corruption. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. If man is in charge. They don't want to accept that God is the supreme leader. This is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And as we shall later find out, the greatest commandment. Let's drill down on the wording of this commandment. I am the Lord your God. Who was speaking with such power was our Creator. He wasn't a Diosito. He wasn't a little God. He was our Creator. Probably at the same time he was giving Moses these commandments, he was shaking Mount Sinai. And along with the thundering and lightning, the second word of that command is am. If you can look at that, am. Am is a more possessive nature. If you want to emphasize something that you are in charge, that you are the supreme, I am. This is for emphasis. This is to show us that he is the supreme God. The word Lord comes from the Hebrew Yahweh. Most of us know that. The meaning of the word, we know, is eternal or self-existing one or the ever-living one. God was showing that the one who was speaking was the eternal God who has always existed. He's the Alpha and Omega. It was he who brought them out of the land of Egypt and out of bondage. We can safely say this world is in bondage, brethren. And sin is what's being wrapped up around us. And it's destroying us because of what we think is right. Some people try to escape, but they try to escape reality or the way the world is turning right now. And in the news article that jumped out at me several days ago, it came out in the news that here in Corpus, I'm sad to say that the emergency room and first responders have taken on a significant amount of, I guess, let's say casualties or people that have taken the consequences of using synthetic drugs, mainly synthetic marijuana. The numbers that they were put out was 20 to 30 cases a day. Now, that was in a two-week period. That's 350 people on the low end. That's not including the people that they have caught, the police have caught, with their cars flipped over and they ran into this house and they hurt the person that was in the bed. But they were completely out of it. Or that 10-year-old little girl that came running to a store and asking for help because her mom and dad were completely out. And this is in Corpus. People are looking for ways to escape. That's where you see a lot of homeless people, because they just plain give up. They plain give up, and most of them, after being interviewed, they've all said they've chased the wrong things. They're chasing the wrong thing, the house, the everything. But their focus is the wrong thing. To totally engulf yourself in material things replaces God. So much so, it impacts your family life. You've all heard people, well, I have to keep busy. Yeah, you have to keep busy, but you've got to have it prioritized. It can go the other way. Some people I know say, well, I want to take a hobby because I want to try to get away from my work. Well, I take a hobby and they take up horses or anything. It can be boats or anything you can think of. But if you take too much of it, you wrap yourself around it, you don't have enough time for your family, your wife, or your children, or in some of our cases, our grandchildren too. We can see ourselves volunteering for things because we want to do the right thing. I want to volunteer for XYZ. You fill in the blank. But on that particular time you ask for, it's your mother's birthday or your father's birthday. And you can always talk and rationalize within yourself and say, you know what, I can get them after my 1 week of volunteer. I'm going to volunteer for, you know, you fill in the blank. And I'll get to them later. We'll go out and we'll have a good time. You know that doesn't hold water. Let's go to James 1, 27. Here I'm going with James again. For those of you who don't know him, I have a grandson named James. And he, when he comes over, let's just say he stimulates our blood. James 1, 27. It says, religion that God, our Father, accepts as a pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Plain and simple, brother. Plain and simple. This whole scenario would change if you just focused on your family more instead of your objects. Because the objects can rust and blow away. In the case of Israel, God had just showed them that he had released them from national bondage. They had seen send new supernatural plagues on the land of Egypt. They had seen him strike down the firstborn throughout the land as his final punishment. That's a firstborn on every man and beast. Just imagine the economic catastrophe that Egypt went through. They have never recovered since then as a nation. The nation of Israel witnessed the waters of the Red Sea divide, towering many stories above them as a wall on either side. You can find that in Exodus 14. You don't have to turn there. He brought them through that, a supernatural miracle. Just imagine, brethren, bring millions of people through a sea And of all things, they didn't get stuck in the mud. The Egyptians did, though. They had seen and heard and felt God's power as he appeared to them on Mount Sinai to speak. Now, they knew for certain that God of Moses really was God. The command of "you shall have no other gods before me" took a whole new meaning. They had now seen it, demonstrated. There is no appeal to a higher power other than God. This is the lesson that all the nations of Israel, of this earth, need desperately to learn. Now, whether they want to, we know, we read the end of the book, and we know what happens. You probably heard of or have been told that the Old Testament laws, oh, they're done away with. That the death of Jesus has washed us clean. The old covenant is no longer applied. Well, let's go to Matthew 22:36. Matthew 22:36, and they're trying to drill Jesus. And it can happen to us too, brethren. That's what 2 Peter says. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You can replace teacher with your name if somebody asks you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Plain and simple. To set the stage, Pharisees were lovers of money. That's plainly stated in Luke 16. You don't have to go there. Luke 16 and 14 tells you that. Let's go to Mark, though. Enough of James. Mark. Mark 12, 28. He's reemphasizing this to somebody, another Pharisee. And it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all commandments, which is the most important? Verse 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This world does not know that law. We've heard it time and time and time again. But like I've said before, perfect practice makes perfect. The greatest commandment really encompasses the first four. Total commitment to God, and there is no one or nothing that should replace him. Your parents, your husband, your children, grandchildren, homes, car, jobs, and other material things shouldn't replace them. I'm not saying to get involved with any of those. I'm just saying that there is a priority, and God is number one. We just read it. Do not get so wrapped up in worldly things. Enjoy them, but don't let them overtake you. That is anything or anyone in this world. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments, starting with the first and greatest commandment.